This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. We have a very special guest with us in the studio today, someone who I'm quite excited to finally have been able to meet. And we've got Rosalind Grundy with us from the Age Good Food Guide. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ted. And likewise, been wanting to meet you for a long time.
Yeah, it's sort of cross paths, and it's great. And you know, one of the things we were talking about before the show is about the Good Food Guide and its relevance to the Australian food scene, not just Melbourne, and it's gone national now, which will be happening towards the end of the year. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so bring a guide that was, you know, centered across capital cities, and now this national focus on that. You know, how does that change what you do to make that happen, and so it's all cohesive? Obviously, there's a lot more logistics involved with that.
Yeah. So Fairfax has been publishing three guides now.
Yep.
For 38 years, we've been doing the Good Food Guide in Melbourne, centred around Victoria. There's been a 5 years later, they started publishing one in Sydney.
Yep.
And then I'm not even quite sure how long ago, but in Queensland. So there
are
already three editions. So we're kind of merging those three editions. And then building on top of that with some reviewing in the other capitals.
Yep.
And also regional areas in other states, because there are just so many great places all around Australia now that it just seemed remiss of us not to acknowledge that and start reviewing some of those places.
And were you the editor for Melbourne, basically?
Yes,
and
then I was the editor for the Victorian
Guide. Yeah. Sydney and Brisbane,
yeah.
Or just Sydney?
Sydney, and
right.
We had Callan Boys doing the Queensland
okay.
Guide.
And is the intention to have an editor for each capital city still, or are you going to share?
Yeah, I think the way it'll work, and we've just had to make this up on the run, really, this year, was I'll be continue to edit the Victorian ones and Miffy in Sydney. We probably won't have a specific Queensland editor.
Right.
And then the two of us will divvy up the other states and assign people to those other states.
A huge workload increase.
Yeah, it has been, but it's been really great. And it's just to kind of open our minds to other states has been really exciting, actually, because there is just so much out there. And to finally be able to go, wow, we can review in Hobart now. And
right, yeah.
It's been great.
And to be able to experience the diversity of the different food centres and what's on offer is pretty...
And also because, you know, chefs travel from different states and there's a lot of cross-collaboration between the chefs from, you know, the different places, and they travel down to Melbourne to do events, and then, you know, Melbourne chefs travel back and forth. And so it's increasing that exciting sort of melting pot.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see whether there will be any region-specific food styles. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. We're still kind of exploring that, really.
But it's kind of a whole new world, really, for it, isn't it? Because, like you say, you're still exploring it, and you're going to be able to discover these new things and to celebrate them probably for the first time, really, on a national basis.
So as the years go by, I'm hoping we'll just get better at fine-tuning, you know, finding the places in Hobart, for argument's sake, or Tasmania, or around Adelaide, you know, it'll be really great to get more expertise around that, because we already know our own home turf quite well, but to be able to explore and probably develop a network of reviewers in other states will be great too.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. And obviously it'll bring to the surface, of, like I say, new people who have a lot of expertise that maybe haven't been able to share that in the past. So it'll kind of give a whole new level to the whole process. Is it hard to keep consistency, you know, now that it's just gotten bigger, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of trying to make sure everything's, you know, reviewed consistently.
Yeah.
That can be quite difficult, I guess, to achieve with a larger scale of...
Yeah. The way we're doing it this year is that we've got some of our most experienced reviewers going and reviewing in the other states so that we score out of 20, as you probably know. So we score 10 for food, 5 for service, 3 for ambience, and 2 for kind of X factor.
Yeah.
And so we'll have all of our senior... Well, not all of our senior people, but some of our senior people going to the other places and scoring just as they would score in their home turf,
right.
So that there will be that kind of consistency. In the past, for example, when reviewers have gone out into regional areas, they've kind of given regional places maybe a little higher score than they might have scored in the city.
Yeah.
Kind of a, I don't know why that would be the case, but so maybe a place that scored a 14 out of 20 in the country might not really be a 14 out of 20 in the city.
City, right.
But we're trying to get that consistency by having the same senior people doing the reviewing.
So how do you get one of your gigs? Ted and Fiona would love to do that, reviewing food all over the country.
You have to know how to write, I'd imagine.
Yes.
It is largely a writing gig rather than an eating gig.
Yeah.
So we really look for people who can go into a restaurant and assess it, sure, but also convey that to the readers. So people who can write, and it's quite a tight brief. It's only 160 words, so you have to be able to
capture a lot of
information in a very short amount of time. And so every word really has to carry its own weight. So it's, we're looking for writers. And so if there are people who reckon they are, who would be able to do that, I'd love to hear from. We are always looking for, you know, really talented
foodie writers.
I can imagine there would be a lot of people that would be very interested in
that.
Because I mean the Melbourne food scene has become such a, you know, a much watched and anticipated food scene, and new venues and anticipated and eagerly awaited, and there's so many people so engaged with that, so I can imagine there'd be lots of people who would be keen to get involved.
And we're finding, just getting back to the idea of the travel side of things, that a lot of people now are travelling for food, travelling to eat.
Absolutely.
And so they might be planning a whole trip to Queensland based around good restaurants up there, or over to Adelaide or whatever. And they might say, right, well, we're going to Adelaide, we'll do a few in the city, we'll rent a car, we'll go out to the Barossa Valley, we'll look at some wineries, we'll go to some good restaurants out there. So we're seeing more and more, and you've probably experienced this in the travel industry, that people are building their whole trips around food, really. Yeah.
Which is great.
Booking restaurants in international destinations 6 months in advance to make sure that they make it to Noma in Mexico or whatever the case may be. It is really becoming, food is becoming a destinational.
But even in Australia, I mean, there's restaurants that you have to book well in advance for.
Yeah.
It's not just the international ones. And because there's such an international focus now, that's making it more difficult for, I guess, the local people to get into some of them. So I think it's it's a good idea to if you have access to these like the book and all, it really will help people in their preparation and their planning, and it's a good a good barometer of what it's actually like.
Well, we're hoping so. We're hoping that's going to become a kind of a national bible.
You know,
people often tell us, oh, we're the food bible in Melbourne. We're hoping it'll become that national bible so that everyone puts it in the glove box as they head out of town, kind of thing.
So for the joysters listening today that don't know about the guide, how would you describe it?
It will be, when it comes out, probably in October. We haven't quite settled on a date, but it'll be a guide to the best restaurants around Australia. We'll have 500 reviews, plus
that is a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit thicker. You'll notice it might not slip into your back pocket.
Hard to travel with that in the back pocket.
So it'll be a bigger guide, 500 reviews, and we'll have cafes and cheap eats and bars and things as
all included.
Yeah. So it'll mostly be in the first year, it'll be our home ground of the cafes and things in Melbourne and Sydney. That's where we know the turf best. And perhaps people don't travel as much to go to a cafe in Perth, let's say.
Right.
But as as we develop more expertise in some of those other areas, we might start including more of those cafes and whatnot in other states.
Yeah. Is there an online version you can subscribe to as well? Or?
No, not yet. We're still kind of negotiating with the powers that be within the company. We did have an app last year that launched, but I don't know if they're going to do it again this year.
Right.
We'll have to see.
Yeah,
and we would expect that there would be the same coverage for the Melbourne restaurants scene as you've had in the past. I think that some people might be
worried
that you're going to reduce that.
It will be a little bit reduced. So we'll be only reviewing places that score 14 out of 20 or more.
Okay.
In the past, we sort of had some, you know, as low as 12. 12 was kind of our cutoff point. So 14 out of 20 or more. And we're also, because we're trying to cram in more and not have the book become ridiculously huge, we're trying to find the best of the best within Melbourne and Sydney, really. So,
which is what the book's about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it'll be places hand on heart that we would recommend to people.
And that also goes within price range. Is there a way in the book that you'd say, well, you know, I'm prepared to spend this tonight? And they can flick to that section of the
city? Oh, we'll have
city,
a Cheap Eats chapter, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So for Melbourne, there'll be a Cheap Eats chapter.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And then, of course, there's the element of the hats.
Oh, yes.
Which we didn't mention. To be hatted or not hatted.
Yes.
Do you get one hat? Do you lose a hat? It's always a very interesting moment for everyone.
And it'd be interesting to have.
I think losing a hat wouldn't be interesting.
No, not that kind of interesting. No, but it'll be interesting to see how the hats fall in the other states. We haven't quite got to that assessment. The reviews are still coming in at this stage, so we haven't seen whether there are an amazing number of hatted restaurants in Perth or wherever it might be. It'll be really interesting to see how the hats fall this year.
It will be interesting, and I think, too, even from the point of view of the attention that some of the other restaurants get from other capital cities, like at the moment, even when you're talking about like the 50 best list, you know, there's just a few that are on that. But this will be an opportunity to showcase the rest of Australia as well, which I think is important to do that. And there's a lot to offer and a lot to enjoy. And I think that'll be good for the industry.
Yeah, it'll be. I also am looking forward to seeing whether it's taken up by people coming into the country, because we know that there are a lot of people coming into the country to eat out.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, Tourism Australia has spent a lot of money trying to encourage people to come into this country.
Absolutely.
With the world's 50 best and that sort of thing. So
it seems like it's good timing then to do something like this, for sure.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
Well, as you crisscross around the country on Qantas.
Yes, of course. I'm supporting them all the way.
Absolutely.
I think that Alan Joyce has made a great stand, and good for him.
That's right. Mm.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution.
Here's the solution.
Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
We are here talking about the fabulous Age Good Food line, aren't we? What's the background on the guide? How long has it been around now, and why has it proven so popular, do you think?
Oh, it's been around for 38 years. It came out in 79, and I'll have to tell you I wasn't involved in those very early days, in case you're wondering. So it started here in Melbourne. I know that Sydney likes to claim that they've got the better food scene, but we started the guide here.
Mm-hmm.
It was the brainchild of a woman called Anne O'Donovan, who was... She received something like an Order of Australia or one of those medals this year for her work in publishing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So she started the guide. She could see that there was a need for something like that all those years ago. And it must have been, you know, that's quite visionary, really, because it was before there was a food scene as we think of it today. She teamed up with the reviewers from The Age at that stage, and it was published separately by another company. I think it might have even been her own publishing company in those days. 5 years later, along came the Sydney Morning Herald's version, and they both ran quite independently for many, many years, and it was only really when I think it was probably even 7 years ago or something that they started becoming, you know, working a bit more closely in tandem.
Yeah.
And then the Queensland one along about 7 years ago, I think. I'm not 100% sure. But the reason it has done so well for so long, I think, is because there, until quite recently, there was nothing else like it.
Yeah.
You know, there weren't too many other outlets that were doing reviews, and now, you know, there's
quite a few.
So many bloggers, and everyone's got an opinion, and you know, you don't really even need to read anything now. You just need to look on Instagram and see people's pretty pictures, and that counts as a review.
Right?
Now,
yeah,
really.
Everyone's a reviewer.
Yeah, that's right. But people are still kind of looking for
a trusted source.
Yeah,
I think that we still play that role in sorting the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, and as far as the reviews go, I mean, you send people out there, obviously, and now throughout the country, and they're all anonymous. So how does that work? And you know, like, what's, I mean, don't tell us your current name, but what's kind of your favorite name that you've gone under? Or
no, I
don't.
You have the tricky thing for me, and I make, it's a bit of a trap for me, is that I make up the names as I go
as you
along.
Go, oh, good.
So I don't have one name.
That would be wise, because, you know, good. That would get around.
Yeah. So I have a whole bunch of different names, and I have to write it down, because when I get to the restaurant, I sometimes don't remember which name. I have to look up what name I've booked under. And that's really embarrassing. I remember once going to a restaurant in Carlton, getting to the front counter, you know, the front reception counter, and going, I'm booking for, and she said, what's your name? That was pretty bad. So yes, I have to look it up. But so we do book under an assumed name, and try not to make too much fuss and draw too much attention to ourselves, and try not to ask too many questions. And I do remember one time going out reviewing with, you know, Tony Tan.
Yes, yeah.
With
he was
Tony
on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Yep. So going out with Tony one time, and we were obviously asking too many questions about the food. They said, are you food reviewers? Oh, guilty.
Right. So you have to dumb it down. Is that
try not to ask too many questions to draw attention to yourself. And in the old days, we used to be taking notes under the table, notepad under the table. I remember one time scribbling accidentally on the table. I was trying not to be noticed writing under the table. Or we'd duck out between courses and write down notes in our little notebook in the loos. But now everyone's always on their phone all the time, so you can just take your notes on the phone. Oh, I'm sending a text to someone, but I'm really taking notes about the restaurant.
How do you go with restaurants that don't take bookings and that are very popular?
That is really the bane of my life. All the places where you have to book using an email address and pay up front with a credit card and give your credit card name. That's become a real problem for us.
That would be.
So we have to try and enlist someone who can book it for us, really. Yeah.
And once you've been to a restaurant and you've experienced it, how do you run home and write up the review, or how does that work for you?
I should do while it's still fresh in my mind, but I try and just write down as many notes as I can and get it down as quickly as I can. Yeah.
Now, when your partner makes a meal for you, do you review that?
Oh, I sometimes do. He's a much better cook than me. He really is a much better cook. And I sometimes say, you know, I really think this could do with an acidic element or this or that. And it's an eye roll. But last week he broke his wrist and can't cook. And so now I'm having to step up and do a bit more work around the house. So it's going to, come right back at me.
It'll shift. And with the individual awards, like Restaurant of the Year, Chef of the Year, Young Chef of the Year, that are
they're going to be national
this
year.
So it just ups the competition a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's going to be quite interesting. I'll really we haven't even got into the discussions yet about who those might be. But what we're hoping is that we'll be able to find contenders in each of the states. I don't know if I don't know if we're, strictly speaking, we'll say we have to have one in Tasmania, one right. in ACT and all of that. But we're hoping that we will have finalists all around the country.
But what a great platform, you know, for that, for those individuals and, yeah, and the finalists right. in it as well. I think that's a great way to showcase the true food scene in Australia. Yeah. It'd be great.
And emerging chefs.
Yeah.
And to encourage more people to get involved in the profession
yeah.
because it's a pretty tough one.
It is.
And if people could see that there could be, you know, the opportunity to not so much win awards but for recognition,
yeah.
then there'd be a greater, you know, people would be striving.
If yeah. if there's anyone listening at the moment who is thinking about applying for the Young Chef of the Year, actually, yep. that's a reminder. The entries close this week on June the 1st. Mm. So
okay.
if you're under 30 and you're a top chef, why don't you apply to be the first national yeah. Young Chef
that's
of
great.
The Year?
How great can idea. They apply to do that?
So what they need to do is write a short essay on their food and cooking philosophy, up to 500 words, and send that in to us by the 1st of June. And people can look on the website goodfood.com.au and get the details on that.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
So I guess it won't be able to have the same name because it was always the Age Good Food Guide, Sydney Morning Herald Good Food Guide. So now it'll just be Good
the
Food.
The Good Food Guide, I guess. I don't know quite. We're still in discussions about how we're going to name it, but I think at this stage we're just going with the Good Food Guide 2018. Mm. It always is 1 year after, I'd feel.
That's right.
Historic reasons. I don't know quite how it works, but anyway, that's it.
Because it goes that next year.
It's for the full year. Yeah.
And there also must be the interesting challenges of venues that close.
Oh.
I mean, we've got you've got one thing about all the venues that keep popping up, but invariably, of course, because there's quite a lot of restaurants that do close, sadly, around this country.
Yeah, it's quite a tricky thing for us when we're putting the guide together and we've just sent it.
And then a week
later we hear of a really good restaurant or a chef who's just left a really good restaurant or something like that. And it's like,
so what do you do? You can't do anything can you?
Bane of our lives. Yeah. We just almost want to say, just hold on out until we've got the guide out.
Do you hear from people who think they should be in the guide?
All the time. Yeah. we do. And what we're really trying to capture is probably the top 10% of restaurants around the country. Hmm. And some of them, you know, they might be very nice restaurants for their neighbourhood, but they're not really going to cut it in that top 10%.
Yeah.
And we can't review every place in Melbourne.
No,
my goodness, there's so many. We've got a column on goodfood.com.au called Just Open. And honestly, you would think, how do you feel that every week? But honestly, which ones do you leave off every week? There are so many openings.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah. And the same thing with the award ceremony. Now, that's just become bigger than Ben-Hur too now because it's opened up nationally.
Yes.
So that's a whole other level of what do you do next with that? You
know? I know. I'm not even quite sure. We're still, again, in discussions about that. It's really evolving this year.
It's
we're
exciting.
Having to invent it. So it'll be probably one launch ceremony.
Yeah.
Probably in Sydney, I think, because a lot of the sponsors and a lot of the team are based in Sydney. So it'll probably be in Sydney. We need to find a big enough venue to host everyone for a national awards night. So we're still kind of trying to nail that one down. But, we'll be a national night of nights instead of traditionally we've had one in Melbourne. Usually that goes first and then a week later the one in Sydney.
Right.
They've traditionally been held a week apart. And it's so this year they're coming together, but where it'll be, no one knows yet.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yes. What's going on at Joy 94.9? There's something exciting happening right now, isn't there?
There is something very exciting. In fact, you know, we did do a wonderful drive for membership where we promised a gin tour for anyone who became a member and got on board for the Radiothon before the end of the financial year. Yep. And you can still donate. You can still become a member until the end of the fin year, which, in case you're not aware, is the 30th of June.
That's right.
And you still have the opportunity to go on an amazing gin tour with Tad, Russ, and I reckon that Roz would be along for that.
Where is the gin tour?
Fiona's makes it up as she goes along.
So is it all around town, like Four Pillars?
It could be all around town, or we could just go to a gin tour down at the Gin Palace,
tour the world from your bar.
That's
stall,
right.
Yeah.
That's armchair travel.
Okay.
So if anyone is interested in a gin tour, or of course, you know, membership most importantly, and donation, it is joy.org.au. Get on board.
Yeah, we love membership, yes. Don't we?
Well, we do. And, you know, we were talking about the Margaret Court situation before, and that's just yet another example why we still need joy and why we still need members and donations. And it's so important to have a voice. Mm. So I think that just proves it once again.
Mm.
But I've got a question, Rosalind.
Mm. Without notice, go on.
Yes. Where's your favorite place to travel to in Australia? Or what are your favorite food places? Not any like specific restaurants, but kind of destinations. Or do you have, you know, anywhere that you like?
I really, really love the northeast of Victoria and Brighton, Beechworth, those sorts of places. Not just the restaurants up there, although there are some beautiful restaurants up there, but there's a chocolate maker in
Bride,
for example, and there's chestnut farms and all of that sort of thing, cheesemakers. I just think all of that, and also up through the King Valley, I think that's a really great part of the world, and there's so much eating up there that's one of my favourites. And recently I've become in love with Adelaide and around that area. I've done a bit of travelling over there and Barossa Valley and that sort of thing. And, gee, there's some really good restaurants over there. And
there's a couple of restaurants that are doing a lot with Australian native food over there. That's
Arana,
the big
for
thing.
Example.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I would definitely travel to Adelaide for those experiences.
Yeah. People bag Adelaide, but it's a really beautiful city on a very human scale.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get about and it's really good eating over there.
It is, and it's becoming quite a food destination. I mean, obviously the wine has always been a focal point, but the food is really becoming quite a thing. And even like the market, you know, the Adelaide market is so lovely. And
lovely little scaled market.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
It is.
Yeah,
it's
great. And I love it. I've got a very fond spot for Adelaide.
Yeah. I need to get back there. It's been a very long time.
It's not that far away.
Are you from Adelaide yourself? No?
No, not at all. I just only think I was last there when I was 21 years old, and that was a very, very long time ago.
I think it's moved on since then. Yeah. Get
but
back there.
But there's such an incredible art scene and so many reasons to go.
That's right.
And it is very close.
It is, And I mean, you could drive there if you wanted to. You don't have to take a plane or anything like that.
I think that the food tourism component really ties into the cultural tourism that's happening around Australia when there's a fantastic art exhibition in, you know, at GOMA in Brisbane, or an incredible art exhibition obviously down at Mona.
Dark Mofo, go travel for that, see some of the restaurants.
And you'll be doing both. You'll be going to these exhibitions, you'll be dining out, you'll be experimenting with, you know, beautiful food and fabulous new bars. So it's all a component of cultural tourism, which is an enormous part of travel around Australia.
It really is.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're doing reviews and things like that, I mean, when you go into a place and you don't have your reviewer hat on, obviously, I mean, do you find people, how are people when they react to that? I mean, obviously, more so in Melbourne, they would probably recognize you.
There is a little bit of that, yes.
Yeah.
And people can be a little bit scared or think that I'm...
Yeah.
But I don't really do takedowns of restaurants.
No.
I don't actually see the point of that. I'd rather tell our readers about places they do want to go rather than don't want to go. That's just my personal style. And I think there is a place for the critical review. I think that's also legitimate, particularly in that upper echelon where people are spending a lot of money and they want to know you know, that they're spending that money wisely. But
there certainly can be, I mean, some of the challenges of reviewing and some of the responsibilities. I mean, where do you decide to say something that is a criticism that's a little bit harsh but relevant that, you know, the venue can then take on board without actually then, when you're doing it in a public space, of course, then how does that affect, you know, from making other people their decisions to attend or visit a particular restaurant over something that, you know, so it is actually a very fine line and quite a tricky one I would not want to tread myself.
No, it's really tricky and it is really something that we take very, very seriously. Yeah. It's, I mean, not exaggerating, it does cause sleepless nights.
Sure.
As we're trying to weigh up how to explain, you know, maybe some shortcomings at restaurants and that sort of thing. It's never something that none of us enjoy actually doing that.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing, and you know that people have got their money invested and all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's a big responsibility.
Mm.
So, Ros, I'm going to Singapore for the June long weekend. Do you have any restaurants there that I should go and hang out at?
No, I don't, but I know some people. Talk to me after the show, and I'll put you in touch with the right people who will give you some advice on that.
I can recommend a few for you.
Okay, I'd love to hear that. Are your holidays based on food?
Yeah, they pretty much are. Yeah, they really are. I'm a football fan, a soccer fan, and I went over to Adelaide earlier this year, so ostensibly to see Melbourne Victory play Adelaide, and that was one reason to go. But we were there about 4 days, I think, and all the rest of it was all food related.
Well, you know, in places like Ubud, they have the Ubud Food Festival these days, just a writer's festival.
It's really good.
I heard that. In fact, I'm going to be there, I'm going on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So deciding which of those incredible restaurants to dine at and is pretty tough, particularly when you're supposed to be going to a yoga retreat. Hard to do yoga when you can't bend over the full belly.
Yeah. Retreat's all about fasting and, you know.
You can.
But
not in this case.
Where are you staying in Ubud? Anyway, nice and gorgeous?
I'm staying in two different places. One is actually a health retreat called Ubud Sari. Mm. They make beautiful. They have a beautiful raw food restaurant there. A couple of swimming pools, lots of massage.
Nice.
Sounds awful.
It does.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. And then I'm staying in the rice paddies, out the back, at a place called Dragonfly.
Mm. Wow.
Which I haven't stayed at. It sounds very hippie, but hopefully it will be upper hippie and not, you know, any other kind of hippie.
Yeah.
So that will be stunning.
And as a vegetarian, do you have to phone ahead and make arrangements ahead, or do you just assume that they'll do the right thing?
Well, the resort that I will be staying at is going to be serving all vegetarian food.
It's so
all part of the
issue.
Retreat. Right. And also the other thing that Ubud is, of course, famous, aside from the baba ghouling, the pig, it's also really well known for those whole food restaurants, lots of vegetarian restaurants, and lots of raw food restaurants. So it's quite a thing up there as well.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be going to Singapore and indulging in the famous crab?
No, I wouldn't be. Or the momentarily, of course, and then you've got all those incredible ducks.
Yes.
The duck. I don't eat duck, but, you know, I think that there is some fantastic, you know, food that you can find in places like Bali.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And anyone that hasn't been there probably doesn't know that.
No, yeah. Look, there's fantastic food wherever we travel these days, isn't there?
Well, there really is. It's not hard to find. That's the beauty of it, I think. I think people, when you're on holidays, you tend to go for nice food, and it's all part of that, which is great.
Where's your next trip to, Ted?
My next trip will probably be New Zealand.
Okay.
Mm. Late July, for a few days, I think. I love New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And what about you, Ros? Where are you going to next?
Probably back to Adelaide, I would say.
Okay, you and this Adelaide.
Wow. Yeah. 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 A bit of a love affair going with Adelaide, yeah.
That's great.
Port Power, are you a Port Power or a Crow?
No, neither. I don't really follow AFL.
Okay.
Tigers, if anything.
Yep.
Poor Tigers.
Yeah. Look, I have been known to travel for football with, you know, partners that want to travel for football. And I'm like, as long as there's sunshine on the Gold Coast, I'll go and watch football as long as I can lay on the beach.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Oh, Glenelg Beach is beautiful.
Yeah.
Glenelg Beach.
The city is really nice, yeah. We should have you back on one day, Ros, because I travel with my partner and he chooses all the restaurants. So never have any choice. So.
Well, you'll need to get him a copy of the National Guide when it's out.
That's
a good idea. A good idea. I'm keen to read that because we get around. We like to eat nice. I'm a veggie too. So will it have a vegetarian part in it? Or?
Not a specific, but just we're noticing more and more that even if they're not a vegetarian restaurant, they will more often than not have a vegetarian menu or some really solid options now. It's almost there's almost no restaurant now where you can't get at least something decent. Yeah.
You know what, guys? It's time. No. We've had such a great show with you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yep.
And just to reiterate, there's no official date yet for the guide's release.
Not yet, but it'll be sometime in October. Okay, so it'll be the National Good Food Guide.
Looking forward to it.
We'll let you know how we go on our campaign for Tina Arena.
Yes.
That's right.
I'll see you next week, Fee.
No, you won't see me.
You're going to be? You're going to be.
I'll be away.
I'll be here, don't worry.
I'll see you next week. Yeah, have we got any surprises next week?
Oh, well, I think that our guest actually is going to be, we're talking about Italy.
Yes. Ooh. All things Italy.
Mm. On that note, ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.